So we have to get serious here for a couple of moments because this is important stuff. So there's some stuff happening out there in the real world where the government is trying to tell us really how to be hot rodders. And this is serious stuff. So the EPA has decided that if you have a car with a VIN number on it, which is just about every car ever built, that and it happens to be an emission-controlled vehicle, that you cannot turn that into a race car.
Okay, so
that's
a VIN number, and it's got emissions controls.
And emissions controls. So, in other words, you can't take a vehicle with emission controls.
Like an 82 Camaro.
82 Camaro, and turn it into a race car. That you've then somehow violated. Well, you have. You've eliminated the emission controls, right? Which is fine as long as you're going to only run it in off-road. They don't recognize the distinction between on-road and off-road. They see it as the same. Hey, welcome to Car Guy Confessions, brought to you by ARP. I'm Jeff Smith. This is my car buddy Cam Benty and car builder Steve Strope, and we're going to tell you some stories. So one of the things I like to do is always assemble an engine with ARP bolts, and it's not just because they're sponsors, but because it really does work. And the stuff is fantastic. I never have to worry about it. Steve, you building cars too.
Yeah, right? Actually, it's part of my baseline design plan when I'm building a car that's going to be shown or featured in a magazine. It's part of the plan,
right,
to have that little bit of diamonds all over the engine bay or in the suspension.
Yeah,
the stuff is beautiful. I remember a long time ago, I built the first time I ever touched it, 69 Z28. All of the water jacket holes had stripped out, and I learned about ARP studs.
So check them out at arp-bolts.com or check out their catalog. You'll find everything you're looking for. As you can tell, this is not just Miss Garage, because I did not sell my soul to the devil to get to this place, although I would love to. So we are in an undisclosed location. There are black helicopters flying over right now to make sure that we remain incognito. we can't tell you where we are, but it's a really cool place. Yep. So Car Guy Confessions with Jeff Smith,
yes.
Cam Benty, Steve Strope.
We're just not confessing where we are.
We're going to auto-fabricate,
awesome.
Right?
Yeah, we're going to fabricate.
And lie.
Lie a lot.
Lie as best we can.
So you want to get started? You want to talk about what's going on?
Absolutely. You want to start?
You want me to start?
Okay. Yeah, you start.
One of the reasons we're an hour later. Yes. One of the reasons we're here is because my shop has exploded in the last couple of weeks. I have two friends who are building projects in my shop.
Were they injured?
Nearly simultaneously, and it has exploded. There are 13 engines on the floor in my shop right now, 4 transmissions, multiple torque converters. It's chaos. The cat's like, get me out of here. Yeah. And it's like, it's just insane. So we thought we'd move to a different location that's a little bit more serene. Because there's a lot of stuff going on. I got a text from my buddy Scott, who's trying to build his wagon in my shop, and he goes, the drive shaft doesn't fit. Yeah. After he spent $350 to have it made, custom made. So, yikes. So, there's a lot of tension going on, a lot of stuff happening. So,
what kind of engines are you working on?
Well, we have the 67 Chevelle that I'm building with my friend Eric in San Diego, which we pulled the small block out and we're going to put a 5.7 LS motor in it and a 4L60. And so, that engine, that small block, which was an old 383 project we did for Chevy High, and it was sitting on the shop floor, and then my buddy Scott brought his 64 wagon in, and he was going to put his big block in the wagon. So the small block is sitting there. It's a 500-horsepower small block, and he's going, what is this? And I go, oh, that's that 383 motor. You know, we pulled out of the Chevelle. And he goes, well, that would make my car run 11s, wouldn't it? And I went, yeah. You want to buy it? He goes, yeah. It'd be a lot easier
I
sold it off underneath you. Yeah. I was going to tell you. Right?
Oh, good.
Yeah. So anyway, he just like, he coveted it. He was drooling over it. So it's like, okay, you can have it. Put it in your car.
It's a personal problem.
Yes. And so there's been lots of drama there. And the transmission was, actually getting the transmission in was the easiest part of the whole thing.
Really?
After we cut the transjack down, because we got the transmission on the transjack, went to slide it under the car, and it wouldn't fit because the whole mess was too high. Right. So we had to take it trans back off, cut 4 inches out of the middle of the trans jack. So now it's lower, so it'll fit under the, you know, rather than raise the roof, we lowered the water in the bridge. So, yeah, there's been lots of drama at my shop.
But the drive shaft didn't go.
Yeah, and then the drive shaft didn't fit. Well, so that was after I got here.
I need the motor back then.
We could build you another one. We have lots of pieces.
We'll work on that.
We got lots of small blocks. So
that's funny.
That's what's going on in my shop right now. So we've come to this undisclosed location right next to the Bat Cave. So Alfred's over hanging out over there a little bit. And if we need help, he can come along and assist. So
he'll fit you into the suit.
Yes. Yes. You know, with the pectoral muscles and everything. That's the fake muscles.
What are you up to, Steve? Besides getting that visual out of your brain.
I don't know how to equal that. So, the usual, you know, just got a great group of cars going together for some really great customers. And then I'm doing this podcast thing with these two guys. So
these monkeys. And your 60, your F85 was just on Torque Talk?
Yeah, just on Torque Talk. Yeah. That's TORQTALK. By our good friend Tony Thacker, who's also been on your end of the industry forever. Enjoying a little popularity with that, and it's going to also be an upcoming issue of Hot Rod. Mm-hmm. Nice. And was already in Hemmings Muscle Machines and a Haggerty's Quarterly book. So everyone likes my little blue car, which is really nice. I mean, I built it for me, but I'm enjoying it. I've already just started driving it, and I already got 1,300 miles on it, tooling it around here.
It's beautiful.
So
what color paint is that on there?
That is a Mercedes color called Quartz Blue.
It is stunning.
It wears it well.
It is stunning. I mean, they should have had that in 65. You know?
Sure.
But they didn't.
Well, I've been spending, free time on the weekends out cruising and driving, and that's why I created the thing. So I'm enjoying that.
Imagine that, building a car and then driving it.
Yeah, yes. I know. Wow.
Something I never do.
Yeah.
So I
they
come
somehow
up,
get ripped back apart before I can
now,
get out and drive.
Bad, right. Jeff. Bad.
That's right.
So I spent a lot of time up in an area called Ventura. There's a pier up there, so I drive up there and Beach House Tacos. love it.
Should be good for
little
lunch.
Little plug there. Little plug there.
There.
So, yeah, just, you know what? Cruising, enjoying, to bring it around, because all of you out there, I'm from a really small little farm town in the middle of nowhere called Apalachin in upstate New York.
You made that up. You made that up.
No, it's got a paperback and a movie about it. Big mafia bust.
Nice.
Read a book. Anyway, so.
I only read magazines.
Touche.
Oh.
Nice. I do periodicals. So
I do the dots.
I met Jeff, and he literally changed my life in 1995 and featured my El Camino. And
small little West Coast book called Hot Rod.
My first opportunity. But so fast forward through winning these awards and having a toy line with Hot Wheels and shop and TV shows and all that stuff to hear with you guys, who I grew up reading the stuff you were writing, and it's so interesting.
Now you finally arrived.
But,
now, right?
But here, look at how that came back around. What was I doing? I was building the car to cruise.
Yeah.
And so what am I talking about right now? Well, I built a car to cruise.
Yeah.
So it's good that I'm at that, because that's where I'm supposed to be anyway. That's the whole reason why I do all of this, right, is because I dig rolling the window down, sticking the arm out, and looking like a hooligan and, having fun and driving.
That's
so
good.
I'm very, very happy to be doing that. And look at awesome. I'm in SoCal, so it's beautiful weather. I don't have to start the car an hour and a half before I want to drive somewhere and de-thaw the window and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So
doing the ice scrape with a cracker.
That's a lot of fun.
That's a lot of fun, yeah.
So, I'm enjoying. I'm in such a fortunate, amazing place. Mm-hmm. As far as weather goes, and I have this fun car to tinker around with and drive. So
that's what I'm doing.
The stuff that you do is spectacular, top tier stuff.
No, thank
always,
you.
Always, always top tier.
So but I stole your project. Is
you
what?
Stole my oh my god! And I learned about it now. Okay,
live.
I was actually making
what you sold my motor.
Well, I was making space for it.
You didn't even backpedal. That was great.
No,
the good news is, it's kind of like what is it, the little crunchy things? Crunch as many as you want.
Doritos,
we can make more.
Yeah,
we can make more.
Yeah, yeah.
I have lots of motors.
I know
so,
you do.
You know,
I know you do.
Have, you know, so it could be one from column A, one
there
from column
go.
B. One.
There you go.
We could sell you a big block.
Yes, that's true.
Rat motors.
Need something rat bigger than a Cortina to put it in.
So to review, Jeff's got a lot going on. I'm cruising a car and Cam's got shit.
I am doing nothing.
Nothing.
That's right. Oh, actually, I've been doing a lot of research projects. I've been working with Tower on the stuff that this guy, Bill Tower down in Florida, who has been in the business since 65.
He's got that collection. Is that the one guy you were telling me about with the killer collection?
Yeah, he's got the Grand Sport and all that stuff. But we started to do some research. First, we started to research his top fuel car that he ran while being a Chevrolet engineer that ran a Hemi. Did you know that? Yeah,
I'll bet that made him popular at Chevrolet.
Yeah, and I found the article. Remember, I was asking about a 66, May 66 of Superstock magazine.
Okay. I have it.
And we found it. You have it? There you go.
You do?
And
I've got Superstock for 66 and 67. Superstock
and Drag Illustrated. Well, don't forget that part.
His top fueler is in there.
What car is it?
It's a.
Because I'm going to go look at it.
It's a digger. It's called the Rat Trap.
Front engine drinks?
Front engine drinks. Yeah. 66, yes.
It would
it's
be.
It's a dragster, not a altered?
No. This is a top fuel car. Okay. He used to run against Garlitz, and Garlitz hates his guts. So it's kind of one of those deals. So he likes to, and he's from Florida. So they have kind of that Florida thing there. So, but I've been doing some work with him. He's got a bunch of Can-Am motors sitting in his garage.
Wow,
did you know that? Some real original Can-Am motors.
He sent
Jim Hall back one of his Chaparral motors from his shop, in his own in the original crate. Which blew his brains out. But
he saves everything.
He saves everything. He's got that. I told you about that first 283 that he had gotten from Smokey that turned out to be the very first 283.
Wow, really?
I mean, just the stuff he's got is crazy, and the stuff he's forgotten. So we're doing a bunch of research on his top fuel car, and I'm also working with that guy Brad out in Palm Springs, who has that crazy collection of Mopar stuff. Need to take you guys out.
Yeah, you told me about that too.
That is a crazy place. I mean. And what's wild is because he is a chef. I won't go into his last name because that'll relay all this other stuff. But Brad, chef, probably enough. But anyway, so the situation is that he's got all these things, and I have never seen a more organized shop in my entire life because he uses something called in the food deal. They talk about organization as something called mise en place, which means everything in its place. Because when they start cooking, they they can't run to the store and go, hey, you know what? I need some Worcestershire sauce or some ketchup or whatever the deal is. So he's got everything, and I've never seen a more organized shop of really super rare motors. He has right now. I think close to 14 completed Hemi motors that you remember Jim Schubert?
Yeah.
Jim Schubert built all his motors.
Really?
Yeah, and they're all like, you know, perfectly done the way they were. So even a 65, which is super hard to find.
Wow.
So, yeah, so I've been doing a bunch of research with him. And
that sounds like a fun place to visit.
So physically I have I'm completely flaccid, you know. So.
Check, please.
I want to use that word. I want to use that word here.
Somewhere in here.
That's right.
I don't know either of them.
I have no muscle tone.
Where am I?
There we go. All right. So there you go. So anyway.
You want to move on?
Yes. I think we should move on.
So we have to get serious here for a couple of moments because this is important stuff. So there's some stuff happening out there in the real world where the government is trying to tell us really how to be hot rodders, and this is serious stuff. So the EPA has decided that if you have a car with a VIN number on it, which is just about every car ever built, that and it happens to be an emission controlled vehicle, that you cannot turn that into a race car.
Okay, so
that's
a VIN number, and it's got emissions
controls. And emissions controls. So, in other words, you can't take a vehicle with emission controls.
Like an 82 Camaro.
82 Camaro and turn it into a race car that you've then somehow violated. Well, you have. You've eliminated the emission controls, right? Which is fine as long as you're going to only run it in off-road. They don't recognize the distinction between on-road and off-road. They see it as the same. Now, I may be putting words in their mouths, and I apologize if that's the case.
No, I think I've read some of it, too.
Don't apologize.
So that is what I've gotten to.
And it's scary stuff because, and from what small amount of research I've done, is that they apparently have even contradicted themselves. So they're going back to almost to the 68 Clean Air Act and saying, look, these vehicles from this point on, which in California was 66, in federal was 68, that you have emission controls, you cannot then take that vehicle off-road and compete with it. And then what they're also doing, they're going after aftermarket manufacturers who may sell a component for an emission control vehicle that would only be used in competition. And they're saying that violates the Federal Clean Air Act, and therefore they're going to go after them. And they are doing this. The EPA is going after them. So
has this been made a law yet?
My question is, how are they defining people? The EPA can do what they want.
Yeah, that's the scary part. Yeah.
They don't necessarily need Congress to tell them what to do. So the scary part is that, so to counteract this, SEMA is now pushing for this it's called the RPM Act. Just keep it simple. It's the RPM Act. And if we'll show you a super down here somewhere on the screen, there you can click on it, and then if you go to SEMA's website, they will show you how you can click on. All you do is put in, I think, your zip code, and they will automatically pick out your senators and your representatives that you can send a letter to that's already prepackaged, and all you have to do is just say yes, this is me, and send it off, and then they'll send you an email back. We want to make sure this is you. Is this you? Yes, it is. Boom, and then that gets sent to your senator and your state representative. And so I did that.
And I would encourage
all of you to do this, because this is important stuff. Because if we don't fight back, hot rodders are all independent kind of guys, right? We don't necessarily always join clubs or organizations. We're all independent. We do our own thing. But this is important, because if we don't protect our industry, they will come and take it away from us.
It's called common enemy. Yes,
they will take it away from us. So all you have to do is say, look, this is not right. This is not correct, and we're here to tell you that we don't feel this is correct. And senators and representatives, they represent us. So all you have to do is tell them how you're feeling, and then they will respond, right? So I did this. I want to read this to you. This came to me.
It's a letter from a pen pal?
Yes.
So before you read this. Okay. This is responding to something that was sent to them.
I clicked on the RPM Act.
And what does that basically say to him?
It's saying we don't agree with this, that we don't agree with the EPA's evaluation of what you're doing. We don't agree with this, and we want you to know that we're telling our state senator and our representatives this is not right, and we want and you should support the bipartisan package bill that they're doing that represents our position, the hot rodders position.
Right. Well, okay. I have a quick question too, just as we're going through this deal. EPA can do things without having to pass any laws. Right. If it has to do with emissions, it falls into their
jurisdiction
area, and they can do whatever they feel is right. Because literally, if you're taking an 82 Camaro and you're putting it off-road, or even just taking the cats off and putting a test pipe. We used to do that in the 70s. That was the deal, and that was wrong.
As long as it was off-road,
right?
Well, if you used the vehicle on the road, that was illegal, and that was tampering.
And that's what a lot of guys did.
We're not going to try and blow sunshine up your dress and tell you that never happened, because obviously it did. That's why they're upset. But the point is that they've now they've taken the step that says we don't differentiate between off-road and on-road. It's all the same to us, and therefore you're tampering, and therefore these parts are illegal. Right. For example, if an exhaust manufacturer wants to sell an X-pipe that would eliminate the forward cats on a C7 Corvette, and that guy uses that thing in competition.
For weekend road racing,
then
he's not doing anything wrong.
In the spirit of the law, he's not doing anything wrong. But the EPA says, no, he is. He's tampering. And therefore, that's illegal. And then that manufacturer can be fined, which, again, is wrong.
So we'd like to thank our sponsor, Automotive Touch-Up. I've actually used this stuff on many occasions. We built a little 64 El Camino. We actually painted the interior, the dash on it, worked on a steel dash. It worked out really well. It's a two-part deal, and it works very well both as touch-up and or as small parts that you want to paint himself.
And I can attest to, if you follow directions and do it right, I had my first three magazine feature cars, one of which was a top 10 car and a cover car. Tons of parts were done with rattle can because I didn't have the money or the connections to have it fancy painted with a real paint gun. So I've used rattle can paint to build full feature cars. So get to work.
Yeah, and I use it for rock chips. When you're driving cars, obviously they get stone chips and such, and those are, they make a perfect match. I mean, what you do is you go online, you put in your information about your car, and they will match exactly your paint code, which is very cool. So you're not kind of guessing. You are getting exactly what you asked for.
Yeah, right. So check them out at automotivetouchup.com. All right, we'd like to thank our advertiser, Alden American. They've been around for 40 years doing coilover shock conversions for muscle cars, and they do a pretty good job, Steve.
They do an awesome job, and interesting enough, first time I came to California, I met Frank Aldana, who's the guy who created the Alden shock, and kind of a staple in the drag racing community, so I know they've been doing amazing stuff for a very long time.
Yeah, it's really good stuff. They make shock absorbers, coilovers, and suspension kits for thousands of applications. You pick out your specific year and model, and they probably have a system for it. They design and test them in the USA. It's all American-made, racing, street performance, and vehicle-specific applications across the board. And also, they hang their hat on the fact that they're bolt and go. There aren't a lot of modifications that have to happen. You buy them, you put them on, you go down the road. So
check them out at Alden American and see what they've got.
The website?
Yeah.
AldenAmerican.com?
AldenAmerican.com.
That too.
And you can use promo code CARGUY10 to get 10% off your order at AldenAmerican.com.
Filled out the information from the RPM Act that I got from SEMA, sent it off to my, because they tell me, here are your state representatives, here's your state senator, or your federal senator. And I sent it off, and I got a nice note back from my representative. It said, thank you very much. I tend to agree with this in political speak, right? He didn't commit, but he didn't say no. Right. I did not get the same thing from my state senator.
So what you're going to read is the answer back from the senator.
The response. Dianne Feinstein from the state of California. Dianne.
She's built a lot of cars.
Yeah, she's new here.
Probably okay.
She's new? So she's a new one. Right?
Am I being sarcastic?
Dear Lane, which by the way is my first name.
Hi, Dianne. Actually, hope you're tuning in.
That's right. Be nice. It's Lane, as in Lane Departure.
Okay. Yeah. Wow.
So, dear Lane, thank you for writing to share your concerns regarding the regulation of emissions from competition vehicles. I appreciate hearing from you, and I welcome the opportunity to respond. I understand you support the exemptions of vehicles used in competition motorsports from the Clean Air Act regulations. As you may know, the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, proposed a rule in 2015 related to tampering with or defeating emissions control systems on motor vehicles for the purposes of competition. While the EPA received many comments on the draft proposal expressing concerns similar to those you raised in your letter, the agency continues to maintain that modifying competition vehicles is unlawful. Do you get the tone here?
Wow.
I have made careful note of your thoughts, and I will keep them in mind should legislation clarifying the Clean Air Act implementation be considered by the Senate. Once again, thank you for writing, blah, 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 blah. So it's obvious she doesn't think much of the RPM Act.
No.
So we're probably not going to get much help from Dianne Feinstein. But that's okay. She's just one senator.
There's
If all you guys get on board and contact, if just all you have to remember is go up on SEMA, it's there. You contact the RPM, or just click on the RPM Act. It will take you directly to the site. All you got to do is give them your email address and your actual address, I think, and that's all they need. You'll get an email back saying, this is who I am, I acknowledge this, and send it off to them, and you can make a difference.
And all the work's done.
All the work's done. You don't have to do anything else. All the work's done for you. And if everybody, and this is America, this is how this works. If everybody gets behind this program and supports it, your senator and your representatives will get the message, and they will understand what's going on. I don't think we need to go much more than that. I don't want to put this is supposed to be a fun gig.
I think what I said earlier, it's a common enemy, and that means everybody listening, if you're into imports, if you're into off-road truck racing, if you're into, it doesn't matter.
Any vehicle with a VIN.
It doesn't matter what you're
emission
into.
Emission control vehicle with a VIN.
We're all in the same boat on this.
I have two quick things about that. First of all, I mean, didn't in 1966 cars come with air injector reactors? Is that not an emission system? And if you take it off to go racing, are you not breaking the rules?
Well, according to
Tell anybody. Yeah, don't tell anybody. Yeah. But anyway, I mean, the bottom line is
California 66. The rest of the country followed in 68.
Okay, but still,
but
I mean,
California, there were cars here.
Those cars are emissions related, emissions affected vehicles. So there's that end of it.
I mean, that put everything I do in jeopardy.
I know. That's why I didn't want to tell anybody.
I can't modify a Chevelle and put an LS3 in it, even though it basically spits out rabbits out of the tailpipes.
Only again, emission control vehicle. So if it's an early Chevelle, then they're not concerned about that because that's not an emission.
A 72 Chevelle.
Technically.
Right. I'm running a brand. You know what? Yeah, I know we're friendly, but if by chance any person that is a rulemaker or a lawmaker, and you happen to tune into this, I know this is just going to fall on deaf ears, but if I put a brand new LS3 motor in a 72 Chevelle
in place of a big
it
block.
Is running so much cleaner than the original motor ever was.
Yep.
It's not even up for discussion.
Right.
And you're going to have a problem with that.
Yeah.
And I know the answer is, well, what you're talking about, yes. But the guy at home and those tens of thousands of those horrible, dirty hot rodders, you know what?
That don't get driven very far.
Good grief.
Yes. That's right. This is serious
stuff. How many
is
there of us are there compared to the billions of cars driving around to work every day anyway?
If we got everybody together,
what's our footprint?
Just like it's an organization. It's all about. And oftentimes, it could start with something as simple as this. I mean, we're not at the forefront. We're not raising the flags. We're not charging the machine guns.
Sure.
Yeah.
But the point is, you know, if everybody acts, if everybody gets involved, then
use your democracy.
It's going to happen. It's going
to
happen.
I have a short anecdote, and I think I mentioned this to you before, but in 1982, when I was at Popular Hot Rodding, you were at CarCraft, and the California ARB, which was brand new, came out with Air Resources Board came out with what looked like these cigarette pack disclaimers that said, you know, this can, you know, not intended for, you know, a lot of the stuff that you're talking about here, you know, this, if it affects emissions, this is bad, the whole bit. But it was literally that same kind of rectangle with the detailed information in it. And they wanted it on every article that had anything to do with potentially touching a vehicle's emissions or even really doing engine stuff. So I went with Jim McFarland and we went to the California Air Resources Board to go meet with these folks because this seemed pretty egregious. It was like, how stupid is this? So anyway, so we go to the meeting, standing in the guy's office, go through a bunch of discussions, and he is as stiff as a board. He's as stiff as this. And it was just, I could see it was an awful meeting, but, you know, I even had the stupidity to say, hey, you know, it's 11:30. Why don't we all go to lunch? And I'll buy lunch. I was like, oh no, that's, you know, you're going to put us in jail for, you know, bribery. You're trying to bribe us with a burrito, you know?
Right,
so anyway, so the bottom line was that was dead. But
well, it depends on the kind of burrito.
It's true. Well, it depends on if you go to Ventura where you can have.
Yes, or the shrimp tacos or the breakfast burrito.
There you go.
Yes.
Anyway, so the conversation was Jim McFarland's lunch. Because we were actually going to eat. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so on this guy's wall are all these massive, giant bar charts showing all the different pollutants in the Southern California air basin.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all this stuff that was there, you know, it was like, you know, cooling towers and all this stuff. And I was looking at it, and this other guy was at his desk, and I said, so where do we fit into these bars?
You know,
where are we within these bar charts? You know, here's, you know, automotive pollution, the whole bit. So are we here? And the guy goes, no, you're not there.
Not even on the wall.
Well, that's what I said. I said, so where are we in this, you know, this whole scheme of things? Because we're spending a fair amount of time dealing with this deal. And he goes, you don't have a bar.
Yeah, and I was like, in other words, you're statistically insignificant.
And he says,
why are you even having this discussion?
It's the hot rods to hell thing is what it is. He specifically said, you guys are high profile, so we have to do something.
Yep.
This is in 82. So just now come back to roost. Let's also
talk about, because I was talking about a friend of mine today, and he says, well, you should mention this too, because it's significant. I grew up in Southern California for a short period of time. My dad was in the Marine Corps. We were stationed at El Toro. So this is 1962. And I can remember walking to class, you know, walking to grade school, and my eyes would be watering because the air quality was so bad here. I mean, you know, and even when I moved out here in 79, you know, of course, with the fires, and I'm flying into California, and it looked like Armageddon, right?
Yeah.
You know, it was like, oh my God, it's all burning up.
Sure.
And the air quality has gotten significantly better. Right now, the wind's blowing, so of course, the air is spectacular, but it has gotten better, and that's because of emission controls. We're in support of that. We're all breathing air.
Exactly.
Absolutely. We don't make it sound like we're not, but at the same time, there's a limit to this, because what we're talking about is off-road stuff. We're not talking about tampering to drive vehicles on the road. We're talking about allowing us to compete with vehicles that were emission controlled. So if you have an 82 Camaro, I can go out and turn it into a pure autocross racer, which is not used on the street. It's used on off-road tracks. And that should be seen, because those vehicles get driven for a couple of minutes, literally a couple of minutes a day.
Right.
And that's it. Somebody else drives their, you know, some other car that is a gross polluter, but is still considered not tampered with, it pollutes far more than any sort of competition
vehicle.
We
don't even have a footprint.
Right. No.
So that's what this is all about.
I like the honesty from him. Guys technically don't exist, but you're high profile, so we're going to pick on you anyway. You.
Yeah, because you're visible.
Well, that's nice. And with ARP, it's not just a lot of intake manifolds, studs for heads, but they also have a humongous selection of American and metric that we use all throughout the car, even large bolts that we use on the suspension components, because you want that same strength, that same durability and reliability, plus the beautiful looks.
And stuff outside the catalog.
Right. They have a special order program where if you're a builder and you need some special stuff made, they can do that for you. So it's an amazing, amazing company to work with.
So check them out at arp-bolts.com or check out their catalog. You'll find everything you're looking for. So we're going to talk about nitrous stories.
So
first nitrous experience, right?
Yeah.
You want me to go first?
Sure.
I'll go on mine.
Okay. So anyway, so I was working for Hot Rod at that time, and I was actually more on the specialty pubs deal. And I went out to Fontana, which at that point was pretty much the end of the earth. Drove out there. I had to go out there like 4 days in a row to do this install and the stuff we were doing, and it was bad. These guys were knuckleheads. And one of the guys, you know, it's that typical deal where you're at a shop and you find some guy who finds out that you're the magazine guy, and he's got to tell you about all this stuff in his car. He's like, "Hey, that's right. I'm running eights, you know, eights in the eighth mile." Anyway, so this one guy had a clean 69 Camaro SS, you know, with a hockey stock, you know, this hockey stick down the side, mm-hmm. you know, the red with the white stripe. And it was a nice car. And so he had said, I put together a homemade nitrous system.
It was all homemade.
Right. Okay. And it was talking about he had put the bottle.
It was known as a bomb.
Pretty much. That's right. So, pretty much.
Do you remember where he got the
I don't remember any of it. I just remember.
From the hardware store.
I wasn't even really paying attention to him. It was you bother me.
Right.
Okay. But I was like, you know, I was like 23 or something. I mean, I was green.
I was trusting.
I was like, here we go. And which we talked about in the past, that we don't really ride with anybody anymore.
Not anymore.
Because we know
not anymore.
That it's not a good idea.
Because those guys will try and kill you.
Exactly.
That's another good story we should tell later.
Exactly. 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 So anyway, so this guy, he had put his nitrous bottle in the fridge all day to help, you know, it's like he's got his bologna sandwich and he's got his nitrous bottle. So anyway, so he's got it all squared away. And two times we go out and he tries to make it work and it doesn't do anything. It's, you know, it's a big block, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Big block automatic. And so he's, you know, stomping on it and nothing's happening. And then finally, at the end of the day, we go one more time. And he goes, stomps on it, and nothing happens. And he goes, "Oh, look." And he literally takes his hands off the wheel and
you're going
reaches
like
down.
50 miles an hour?
Yeah, we're going like 50 miles an hour. And he goes down, and he puts two wires together. All of a sudden, he MacGyvers this thing together. So he's like sticking the wires together. It's like, whoa!
Boom!
It's like, and that was my first experience. And it was
with his hands off
super,
the wheel.
Super, super dicey. The only thing that was good about it was we were on a road in Fontana. Where nobody lives.
Right.
And there's nothing there. What are you going to hit?
Yeah.
You know, you might hit a phone pole, which would be bad. But
or a steel plant.
Not going to run into California Speedway. So there you go. That was way before that.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that was, it was actually quite memorable. It was kind of cool, but it was at the same time kind of really stupid.
Yeah.
So.
My very first nitrous, I guess, experience was with the owners of NOS, Mike Thermos and Dale Vasnain. Yeah. And so Mike goes, "Well, have you ever ridden a nitrous car?" "No." "No." It's like, "Well, do you want to?" It's like, "Yeah." So Dale's got this little Cougar. So we throw, and I think it was a convertible. So we jump in his Cougar and we're just driving down somewhere in Huntington Beach where their shop was. And Dale goes, "You ready?" And I was like, "Yeah." I mean, what's it going to be? It's going to go, "Wah." Okay. Right. Right. And he jumps on it and then it triggers at one point and sets me back in the seat. The car just takes off. It's like, wow. You know, because it was probably a 50% power increase.
Wow.
It was probably maybe a 250 horsepower engine, the 5-liter, you know, Mustang engine in a Cougar,
right.
And then 4-barrel, and then 150 shots. It was more than 50%, you know, and it was like, yeah. And the big thing is the torque gain, because down low, that's 150 horsepower at the peak, but it's you're flowing through a fixed orifice, so the torque gain is like another 50% on top of that. So it's like probably 200 foot-pounds of torque like that, and that'll get your attention.
Yeah.
So
Dale was nuts. He put a nitrous kit on one of those Hayabusa motorcycles.
which is nuts. So
and
you,
live
you
to
know,
tell about
you
it.
Know what Dale's doing now?
No.
The compressed air supercharging.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
I did a story.
Oh, yeah.
Their
yeah,
engineer
yeah.
and Dale have been working on this thing for 4 or 5 years. Have you heard about this? So it's a giant scuba tank.
Yeah.
It's a giant scuba tank that you put in the trunk of the car.
Attractive.
Yes. and kind of heavy.
Comes with a
snorkel. But it's got enough to make a pass down the drag strip.
Mm-hmm.
So and there's a series of solenoids and stuff that feed up the front, and you have a flapper valve that closes off the induction system, and then this thing takes over and feeds the entire engine. And it's just a matter of how much power do you want to make. And so we add, you know, maybe like 800 horsepower to this thing, and it's amazing.
Wow.
And I did a story with Hot Rod on this, and it's really interesting stuff, and you almost can't hurt the engine. So on one of the tests we did, forgot to boost reference the fuel pressure. So when the power came up, the pressure came on, left roughly 10 PSI, and the fuel pressure dropped, so the thing went dead lean. So the engine ran for like a second and a half or 2 seconds at like 16-to-1 air fuel ratio. And I was like, oop, you know, Steve immediately, without West Tech, yeah. Steve immediately closes the throttle and thinks, well, we may have hurt something. And Dale's there, and Carl Stagemeyer is the engineer. Carl goes, no, we've done this before. I don't think it'll hurt anything. So I went, well, we need to pull some plugs out anyway. Pulled the plugs out, and they looked like they'd just gone down to the local grocery store. It was like they looked perfect. It was like, this is amazing. He goes, well, the inlet temperature from the bottle at the engine is minus 60 degrees. So the density is amazing. So compressed air supercharging is a neat deal. You can look it up online. You can find them.
You'll be tested on this later.
Yes.
It'll be a small...
It's pretty interesting stuff. It just hasn't caught on because it's kind of new technology. But that's what they're working on now. Because
Dale, you have to put Dale a diving bottle in your trunk. So
well, yeah, there's a bit of complexity involved with a bunch of solenoids and valves and stuff and things like that. But it's pretty interesting. So we talked about that and then I went down to the dive shop to shoot a picture of like the big compressors they use to put those things at like 1500 psi, and so the guy happened to be a Mopar guy that owned the dive shop.
Wow.
And so he starts talking about saying, well, you know, you don't have to necessarily just use regular air. We can pump the O2 level up. And then Carl said, no, don't do that. Because it'll be
crazy.
It'll be crazy. Yeah, but anyway, it's kind of fun stuff. So that's how they have evolved and what's gone on. And
that's pretty cool.
And Mike has, you know, sold it to Holly, NOS to Holly, and now has
and
his own.
And changed the name
yeah,
for the drink.
Yes.
Which nobody knows.
Really?
The original intention.
Really?
They always call it NOS.
Yeah, right.
Everybody goes, it's NOS.
NOS.
It's NOS. NOS. No.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, that happened because of the Fast and Furious movie.
Of course.
Right.
Everyone started calling it NOS. I'm like, oh, you own some NOS? It's called Nitrous Oxide Systems, you moron. I got NOS. Yeah, apparently you do.
So anyway,
my first thing with nitrous was much more simple.
Really?
But very shocking and a bit scary. We put it on a lawnmower. Because I'm a hick.
A riding lawnmower.
John Deere?
Yeah, a riding lawnmower.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. It went really.
It went really good
went,
for a little while?
It did.
Did you drive over the crankshaft?
It made a lot of noise afterwards, but it was brisk.
Brisk.
Yes.
Yeah.
Brisk.
As opposed to flaccid.
That's right. Like the limp tea.
And today's episode,
yes,
it's brisk opposed to flaccid.
Which really it isn't opposed to.
That's it.
That's actually missing.
Bring it
sometimes.
On.
Like it on, everybody.
That's right. Bring it on. Too much
so,
fun.
Yeah, there's not much to say except, well, this sounds like fun.
And it was.
Yes.
It was.
Yeah, it moved.
Then did you build your own or did you actually use
we just
a,
borrowed off
like
people had a
10,000 RPM package or something like that?
Little Sneaky Pete's.
Yeah.
Right.
Those are cool.
I know they were. Especially
cool.
In a lawnmower.
For those of you who don't know about that, it's a little bottle, not much bigger than this little rascal here. And
it's
they call
thinner.
Them Sneaky Pete's. It's thinner than this.
Yeah.
A little bit taller.
Because no one hides
with a
them.
Solenoid.
No one hides
and then you put that in your fire suit. And then just run a little plastic hose through the firewall and into the induction system on your thing.
I've got a good story.
And you go. pop that band, and boop, you know, right. And
that was
it
that
works.
Story I assigned you to do for that other Power and Performance, the deal with the hidden stuff with Mike and
yeah,
showing
yeah.
like the battery that was a nitrous
they,
box.
Yes, they had yeah. a they had a so he, one of the systems that they hid, they had a battery box up front, and what was inside it was a fake battery, and mm-hmm. inside the fake battery was a nitrous bottle. And then he actually had Mike actually showed this at MPMC a couple of years ago,
right.
And he had a like a RC car controller, and he had it hooked up to that. So he goes, "You ready?" And I go, "Yeah." And he pulls this trigger on this thing, and the bottle shoots nitrous out of a line.
Into,
you know?
Yeah.
And you could, so the crew chief could be standing off to the side. And I thought, I think as a driver, I would rather have control of this than the crew chief. But this way, there was no way to say, well, the driver didn't do it. You know,
right.
He's not. You know, he didn't cheat.
Didn't the lines come out of like fake cables, battery cables?
Yes, I think they went through the fake cables. I did a story on how to hide a nitrous system for CarCraft way back a long time ago. Used my big block, and Mike built us a single plane manifold. We turned it upside down and plumbed it underneath, and then drilled two holes in the back china wall of the big block and put AN.
That became a very popular thing to do.
Yeah, they were bulkhead fittings in there, and just ran the both gas and fuel, nitrous and the fuel to that, and then all you had to do was trigger it with an innocuous little switch, so a friend of mine, I guess I could use his name. It's Guy Tripp, who used to work at Airflow Research. He now owns SoCal Diesel.
Yeah.
And he told me a story where he says, when he saw my story, because I had this story, the lead shot was me standing there with a trench coat. It's like, you want to buy a nitrous system? And the nitrous bottle, the king of lead. Yes,
imagery.
So holding this manifold with the hidden nitrous stuff on the back side of it, and then we showed how to bolt it on, and he did that. He had a little Chevy 2, a little small block Chevy 2. He says, you know how I made a ton of money street racing. Not that we condone street racing, because we don't. That's something we should talk about at some point.
Diane
because
Feinstein
it's
a, street racing. Though.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, one of my favorite cars ever was, and you and nobody ever featured it. I saw it at the Hot Rod Magazine Super Nationals in Campfield, Ohio, and it was probably 88 or 89, if memory serves me right. And it was a 70 Nova. And the license plate said Ole Mom.
Ole Mom.
Okay. Ole Mom. Mm-hmm. Bench seat, column shift.
And what kind of car was this?
Nova.
A Nova.
Okay.
Chevy 2.
Mm-hmm.
Early 70
Nova. Okay. And it had a very good sound, but very mellow. And I started looking around the thing and became, and over the weekend, since the guy knew that I was from New York and he was from Ohio, that I posed no threat to knowing his secrets. So when I'm underneath the car, I notice there's four mufflers. Mm-hmm. And you start looking more, and he's got dog dish, you know, the police, the small caps,
right.
And screws in the tire that are painted the same color.
Nice.
And it's got a big block in it. But looks very, very sedate. There's no headers on it.
Yeah.
And among many things on this car, it was a moneymaker. He had a Sneaky Pete inside, basically under the dash, came through a rubber hose under the plate on the back, and it looks like the hose for the
PCV
for the
golf, something like that.
For the PCV or for your brake booster.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So the Harnline fed through that. His clock was a tack, but it looked like a clock.
Right. Nice. So no instruments.
And the,
on dash.
Off switch for the was in the horn.
Was in the horn. Right. Yeah.
And
so he'd hidden everything.
Yeah.
Oh,
awesome.
Beyond hidden.
Yeah.
And he had more sneaky stuff than that. But the best part is the license plate. When you flip it upside down, it says Wow 70. I'm like, you are
perfect.
A hero.
Perfect.
This is the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life. Right.
So nitrous and anagrams.
And anagrams.
That's right.
I mean,
well, Sullivan had a good one. Remember on the orange one? Remember Cheese Whiz?
The 55 had that was part of the deal was the goal was to build a car that could win Pro Street Ward at the coin.
Right.
And then drive it cross country and then drive it and run tens. Have we told that story? How we got to the drag.
It is amazing that car also has a column shift.
And I had to drive it.
Yes.
So I had, because Scott says, I don't, you know, you're going to have to drive this thing. So we had a button, just a momentary button. So in a column shift. So I had to, you know, launch the car, shift it. So I thought, I'm not going to put the nitrous on until second gear. So I have to and if you hit it too hard, it'll go right up into neutral and buzz the motor. So I can't do that. So it's like pop it and hold the button down at the same time. Well, then shift into third gear, you have to shift it again. Well, I'm concentrating on shifting it. I let go of the button. So it's going down the track like this. Right? So we make two passes. We're out at LACR. And Bernie's letting us run. I guess we can tell that story now, that the car did not have a roll bar in it. And it had seat belts, but that was it. No roll bar, and we're trying to run 10s at 122 miles an hour.
Did it run a 10.2?
It ran like 10, the equivalent of 1080s.
1080.
Yeah, and so the last pass, because the bottle, this is the neat part about it. He had hidden it; it was not in the trunk. There's a wall inside the trunk on a 55. And there's this much space between the outer fender and the inner fender of the trunk, and he put the bottle right side up. Inside the bottle, so it would take like half a day to change the bottle. So look, we only got one more pass. You can't screw this up. So I made this pass. We ended up running the equivalent of 1080s, corrected for altitude because that track's at 3,000 feet.
Right.
And to get there, we wanted to run DOT legal tires, but we couldn't get them. So we put slicks on it, and it wouldn't fit on a trailer because it was so low.
Right.
All the trailers that we wanted to try and use, it was like the car was this far away from the fenders on the trailer.
Right.
So finally Scott said, "Well, why don't we just put it on a dolly?" It's like, "Well, that's okay, except that the slicks are on the ground, right? So if that doesn't work, let's just drive it." So we drive it out the track. We do all this stuff. We went and have lunch. We're going to get on the freeway to go home, right? So I'm driving my 65 El Camino. So we pull onto the freeway. And just as we pull on the freeway, we merge into traffic. Hub patrolman goes right by us. I was like, oh, I mean, what are the chances, right? So he pulls on by. I thought, okay, he didn't catch it. And all of a sudden, back behind Scott's 55, lights come on.
This is Cheese Whiz.
Okay. So we pull over and we get out. Now that car is ridiculously low. So 3/4 of the tire is hidden
in the tub.
So you can't see it because to change the tires, you have to take the shocks loose and drop.
The car has to
be this high off the ground in order to get the tires off. Right. So he pulls us over and we get out and he, nice guy, super nice guy. So he goes, "Come, do I mind look at the car?" We thought he just wants to see the car. So yeah, cool. So we're standing in the front, leaning on my 65, and he makes about 3 laps around the car, and I realize he's looking for the not for highway use thing because it's slicks, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So he finally comes, and I told Scott, I said, "Okay, here's the deal. If he comes over here and asks us to pull the car back so he can read the sidewall, we're just going to own up to this and then write us a ticket." And he says, "You're paying the ticket." I went, "Okay." So cop comes over and says, "Can you roll the car back?" I said, "Don't bother. Not for highway use. Those are slicks." And he goes, "I thought so." They looked a little bald to me.
And he said,
"And so then he's writing us, wrote us up, which is fine. I didn't care."
Yeah.
So as he's writing the thing up, I said, "By the way, I have a question." He said, "If you don't mind, could you answer the question for us?" He goes, "Sure." And he goes, "Well, we were going to put this on a dolly, but then we realized that the operant part of the car on the ground is the slicks. It's kind of a waste of time. We can't turn it around and dolly it backwards."
Right.
So, I'm just kind of throwing this out. If you had passed us and the car was on a dolly, would you have pulled us over? And he goes, "Nope, not. But now that you've asked, yes, I would." So Scott goes, "You're paying the ticket." And so I wrote it off as a trailer rental.
Perfect. Awesome. Did he notice the license plate on the Cheese Whiz?
Yeah, Ohio.
No, you notice that he always ran a front plate for one reason. You're talking about, interpreting. His license plate was 3MTA3.
I'm trying to work it backwards.
Eat me.
I was like, I'm going E,
which I thought was pretty funny, but so.
I like the sticker. Because
we got pulled over on the cross country.
A warning, anything over 2 inches tall will be decapitated.
That's
right. Perfect.
It's still there.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah. So, anyway, a good, fun Scott Sullivan story.
You bet.
We have hundreds of them.
Scary.
From the trip that were not in the Hot Rod story. So at some point, we'll sprinkle those in as we go along because
we got to get him out here.
We do.
Yeah,
Scott's.
We thought he was here, but he wasn't.
He's not.
Was a different Scott. So.
That's right. We got the cat Scott. That's right.
So have we covered it? Have we done it?
I think so. Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah.
We had too much fun tonight.
Are you exhausted?
Yeah. I'm exhausted. I am.
Yeah, it's good.
Well,
ready for more.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Steve just getting wound up.
Wow.
That's it. Very
So we'll wrap this thing up. Thanks for watching this thing, and subscribe, do whatever you want to need to do to help us out here, and we'll see you next time.